like a heaping helping of Betty White's heart. The Rick Emerson Show in 970.
And the best part was how we used that phrase yesterday when Annette Sosa was on the phone from Haifa being shelled. Clinging to life day by day when we're talking about boiling the heart of one of the Golden Girls. No clue. No idea. All right. 503-733-2970. Why do you care about that? Well, because, kids, this is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's approximately, we can't actually say for sure because we don't have any clocks that work today. That's what's going on at CBS right now. There are no clocks. There are no timepieces. There's no way in the studio with which to tell what time it is with any accurate sort of read. We don't have a sundial. I got nothing. Nothing. That's what we have here. Now, that's in exchange for the fact that the air conditioning is now working. Apparently, it's sort of like you lose a daughter, gain a thing, whatever it is. What is that thing? You lose a son, gain a...
I don't know.
A stitch in something or other?
Stitch in time saves nine.
Whatever. So Will, our engineer, turned on the air conditioning yesterday. So now we are actually cool. We're no longer sweltering here, rolling around our own juices like a Thanksgiving turkey.
And we don't even have a guest in here.
No. You don't need to say that.
No, but I'm saying they gave us the air conditioner and they took away the clocks. So I really have no idea what time it is. The only clock that we have access to claims that it's still 11:54, which is clearly not the case. So, you know, just be aware of that. So we're going to say that it's, 2 minutes and 14 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of August, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and newly air-conditioned studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to engage with us electronically speaking with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. You can do that as well. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Sarah Dillon is eating a wheel of cheese. In case you're playing the home game. We'll talk about what's coming up here in a second. We'll welcome Mailman Chris of the Rick Emerson Show, the official stenographer of this very fine radio program. I want you to know that today's Rick Emerson Show is once again being powered by Vizo. I tried not to drink it for like a day. I went all day yesterday.
That's why yesterday was such a fantastic show.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm saying it's angry juice. I'm not looking forward to it.
What are you talking about? Just eat your cheese. Shut up! What was that?
What?
That face. I know that face. You think you're amusing, but you're really not, Rick Emerson. Gilbert Blythe. Call me Carrots. Hello. That thing of saying hello like that, which we got from Don and Mike, and I'm the first to admit that that's a Don and Mike-ism. That is the difference between us and others, by the way. We don't even make any pretense of this show being original. That has now infiltrated everything we have. We'll play it later, the Weekend Geek. It's not my fault that we didn't play yesterday. Aaron didn't get it to me. He got it to me this morning. But if I listened to it kind of casually this morning just to make sure that it was working, I'm pretty sure that the Weekend Geek starts with a big, not just hello, but with the full-on Mrs. Doubtfire, hello! Yeah, like right at the top
hello.
Of it. Exactly. All right. And so forth. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show to track the beginning and the guaranteeing segment of this program, Mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
Good. Good.
Okay.
That sounds convincing, huh?
You sound a little out of breath. How's the mail delivery going today?
Well, it's going. I had to rush through this last section so I could get done, so I'd be ready to make a phone call.
I'm sure the customers appreciate that, the delivering the mail. It's neither sleet nor gloom nor rain nor oobleck nor whatever, but if it comes down to the mail or this dumb radio program, we win out in a pinch. I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely.
Let me also bring this up. Do you remember not you, but someone who is similar to you but legally distinct from you, was pointing out to us the cover of that... What was the cover of that magazine with the big boob on the front?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know anything about that.
Oh,
no,
the
but
baby magazine?
What was the name of the magazine? Anybody remember? And it was just a...
Baby Talk magazine.
Baby Talk. I'm just... We're Doesn't a baby talk sound like a magazine for pedophiles? But there was some magazine that, again, you wouldn't know anything about this, but another person was telling us about this magazine, and the front cover was just horrifying. It was literally one huge boob. That's the journalistic term. We're speaking now as news people in the news hour, Dan. Just a huge woman's breast, and then a baby. Feeding, whatever it is.
What's the story about?
Nursing. Remember that picture that not Chris, but someone legally distinct from Chris sent us?
Oh,
was telling us about the cover of that magazine? There's a whole uproar now about that magazine. I was reading about it today. In USA Today, there is now there's a huge scandal about that because people everywhere are horrified by seeing a huge boob. And it's, so we were way ahead of the curve on that. We were horrified the day that it hit people's mailboxes. Okay.
Well, earlier.
Yes. Yeah, or 4 or 5 minutes before that. Well spotted. Okay, well, here's what we're going to get to today, he says, without a trace of humor. We had a lot of watchers, so much so that I'm not even going to tease them all. We're going to get the second half of yesterday's Cannibal Watch. I didn't feel like we could inflict both halves on the people at once. Yesterday's Cannibal Watch was deeply disturbing because it contained the phrase, heart simmering in a saucepan. Unbelievably, today's is even worse. Let's see, what else? Geek Watch. We have zombie news. I hold it right here in my hand. We have zombie news. What else? Bushwatch. We have a little announcement about Sarah Dillon that we meant to get to yesterday.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. And no, I'm not getting married. What everyone thinks.
Where's that subscription to Baby Talk Magazine, Sarah? No,
that
I'm
is
just
not even funny.
Just kidding. I know. No, it's not really the case. We do have a kind of cool thing. Something you already know, I think. Oh, maybe. Didn't you get that memo? Well, okay. Dennis Pitsenbarger is going to stop by. Well, I bet it's the worst song you've ever heard. And we've got a Snakes on an MF and Plane announcement. So that's all coming up. All right, Chris, do you have these things now?
I do. I have the Cannibal Watch, the Geek Watch. Now, is that the Geek Watch or the Geek Week and Geek?
Oh, both, actually. Geek Watch and Week and Geek.
Ooh.
All right, so I have the Geek Watch and the Weekend Geek, a Zombie Watch, a Bush Watch, news about Sarah Dillon, Dennis Pitsenbarger, the worst song ever, and Snakes on a MFN plane.
Yes, yes. Which, by the way, I want you to know that that is how everybody inside CBS Radio, not everybody, by which I mean me and, like, court, that's how we're all signing all of our mail, our email this week. Doesn't matter to who or what it's about, we're signing all of our emails. And the subject line of all of our emails is SOAMFP. Just to amuse ourselves. All right, we will check back with you at the end of the program, and I will owe a push-up to the Sarah Dillon Collective, the Sarah Dillon Borg, for each item not gotten
to. And aren't we going to be at Dante's tonight?
Yes, we are, Sarah.
Oh.
Very exciting.
Hopefully no one remembers to refresh my memory about all the push-ups you owe there.
Thank you.
Well, just in case, Sarah, just in case I'm not there, make sure you keep track of any he does so I can detract them from the total.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chris. All right.
Talk to you later.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. Thank you for that. Yes, we will be at Dante's tonight. Tonight's the 9 o'clock one, right?
Yeah,
so we will be at Dante's, because there's no point in kind of going on Wednesdays for now. Not for another 4 or 5 weeks. So tonight, though, we will be at Dante's, the official AM 970 Rick Emerson Show, blah, 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 Rockstar Supernova viewing thing. It's 9 o'clock tonight at Dante's 3rd and Burnside. We're here today with Sarah Dillon. Da-da-da-da-da.
Are you going to tell me the news about me?
You got a new hair color, for one thing.
I do.
You kids and your kooky hair. So it's back to being... Now, was it this color before and then it just faded away with grease and time? Or is it...
No.
Is it not darker?
No, I picked a different color. This is like a brick red color.
It was pink. It was like a gem color before, and yeah. Now it's like a pink.
Yeah, I got a little bored with the pink,
like
so
a dark
I decided
red
to dye it red. And I'm a big fan of the red. I think I'm going to keep it.
No, I like it. It looks good. It's sort of a rhubarb color. And I mean that in a good way. All right. Well, don't you know the exciting news? I mean, I guess I'm overselling it. It's not like the biggest thing in the history
of the
world.
Did I get a raise?
No. 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 Hell no. What do you want?
Okay, I get it.
Scotty J is going to make $40,000 a year, too. Fool. All right, so, well, I think you already know this, but if you don't, I will announce it here. So, we are...
Is this something you should tell me off the air?
Well, it's too late now, isn't it? I was just going to say, it's very exciting, and I don't mean that in a fetishistic sort of way, that an upcoming issue of Bust Magazine is going to be featuring a part of your body.
What?
You knew that.
No.
Joni claims that she told you.
Bust what?
Bust Magazine. You know
what's
Bust Magazine.
Bust Magazine?
Is that for bus drivers?
Yes. it's for gambling. It's for people who've gone bankrupt gambling. You know Bust Magazine.
No, I don't. What is it?
You're a hip and stylish, fashionable young woman about town.
Pleased to be telling me what Bust Magazine is, because that doesn't sound very good. And what part of my body is going to be featured in it? And what did Joni do? I'm gonna kill that girl. What is in it?
Now, see, now I want to drag out the torture before I tell you.
Rick, just tell me.
I thought, well, now...
No, she didn't tell me.
Okay, she claims that she put it on your MySpace comment board, that she told you all about it on MySpace.
No.
Huh. Why would Joni lie about that, Sarah Dillon? No, I'm surprised that you don't read Bust, actually. It's sort of like Jane. It's like a, I don't know, it's like sassy, kind of. In fact, we probably have it in the kitchen somewhere. Sort of like an Alterna Girl, blah, blah, blah magazine. So whatever that place is, who's the place that you advertise for? The
Baby Girl Boutique?
Yeah, so they're doing one of those photos. They're running a huge full-page ad featuring one of your photos. It's all very exciting.
Well, that is a good thing.
It's just the one of your feet.
Oh, okay.
I don't want people to look at me, Rick.
No, when you were saying bust, I didn't know if it was like some
Yes,
big...
it's a big, it's a magazine about...
What would you think? I don't know what that magazine is. If there was a magazine called Ass, wouldn't you think the same thing?
It's a bosom rag.
It's bust something for TriMet drivers. It's a union magazine.
That's what they were talking, Donna and Mike last night, they were talking about, is my mail here yet? I'm waiting for my bosom rags to arrive. And bosom rags struck me as the greatest phrase ever. I thought you read bust.
No.
Like she'd put you in a porn mag.
You don't even know what it's like working with Joni. She's like, stick your ass out more. She's just always screaming. All she wants is...
How is that different from working here? Bada boom. No, I... But she would like... First of all, you didn't take any photos, to the best of my knowledge, that are revealing.
No, so, but you know, some of them I'm wearing less clothes than others. I didn't want like a full page one of like that ruffly thing I was wearing.
Just a big picture of an areola. It's not that.
No.
Moving on.
Yes, let's go to Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's just skip the news tease. Here's Tim Riley in the, here's Tim Riley. I'm sorry if we're just cutting the cord.
No.
Joni would never, they would never put your picture in like a skin magazine.
She has connections, doesn't she?
I don't know, I didn't sign
in the
papers.
Porn industry? Yes, Joni's got all kinds of connections in the porn industry. No.
You never know who you're
Bust,
working with.
No. Here's an example. Here's the women I know who read Bust. Lara reads it. Jen, who is Aaron, Geek in the City's girlfriend, reads it. It's like it's totally like a Jane. In fact, I'd be stunned if it wasn't modeled on like a combination of Jane and Sassy.
No, I think it's really cool.
It's sort of like Sassy for like.
But if I've never heard of a magazine called Bust, and then you're telling me there's a full page ad of me in it.
It's a magazine called Crotch.
Can you see how it could be a little misconstrued.
You're going to be in Crotch Magazine. Well, anyway, so there you go. Hello. Congratulations. No, it's cool, because you know the photo I'm talking about, too, where it's...
Yeah,
it's
I like just, that one with the hands.
It's like from mid-calf just down to your feet, and it's...
With one I'm sticking
yeah,
in the air?
Yeah, and you got the fishnets and the heels.
That's
I'm trying to be to freak out. Well, she claims that she told you about it on MySpace.
Where do you find this Butts magazine? Is that...
Butts magazine. Where are my bosom rags? I think, actually, Lara did subscribe to it. I don't know if she still does or not. But it's available at, you know, newsstands everywhere. So, but it's very cool. It's not the new one, but it's either September or October. Baby Doll Boutique is going to have a full-page ad featuring the feet of Sarah Dillon. Wait, I didn't want to phrase it. See, here's the thing. Is I didn't lead with the feet because I didn't want it to sound like another so-called foot fetish comment because you guys are so convinced I have a foot fetish. And so I did not want to lead with, like, your feet are going to be on display. You know, because then that sounds wrong. And so I was all, so I thought in my head I'd leave with bust.
No, because, you know, when you get your picture taken, some pictures you like more than others.
Yes.
And some of them, I don't, yeah. That's all.
Bosom rag. Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for you today.
A group of deaf-mute teens is lost in the Oregon forest.
Oh.
A Roseburg man picking up a CD from the floor of a strict crashes, causing power failures and grass fires. Cops quickly find a stolen donut truck in Kennewick. And Joe Lieberman's website is hacked on this. His re-election day? Oh, and a woman dumps hot cooking oil on her husband.
I'm still back on the deaf mutes.
That's our topic.
You'll note, by the way, that I didn't... What? Or... Hmm?
Hello. Bosom rags.
Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
That's gold. Come on, what are you talking about?
You're advertising.
From Hyatt Health, the wonderful coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Team around the reporting. 19 deaf and mute teenagers spent last night lost in the Santiam State Forest, south of Old Mill City, and they were still missing just before we went on the air. Now, they were long overdue, but one of their leaders managed to walk out and call for help, leaving the kids to their own devices. The high school juniors and seniors.
Presumably those devices don't include cell phones. Mm-hmm.
They're juniors and seniors. They're well equipped. Three adults, including a nurse, are believed to be with the group. The remaining team leader is the only person with the group who can speak. Deputies and 30 members of the Linn County Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team scoured the rough and steep area throughout the night and early morning. Still, no deaf-mute kids were found.
How do you search for deaf-mute children? Secondly... There is no secondly. Well, I guess the only secondly is what? Does there seem like a less prepared group of people for wading out into the forest in the middle of the day or the night?
Mm-hmm.
Could you find a group of people that are less qualified to be going? How many deaf mute children?
19.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Probably all of them from Oregon.
I have nothing to add to this. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a 21-year-old man trying to retrieve a CD while driving lost control, crashing his truck and causing a power outage in the Sutherland area. That's near Roseburg. The man was heading northbound on I-5 when he tried to pick up a CD from the passenger floorboard. His pickup headed off the road, went down a 20-foot embankment on the shoulder, then crashed into a power pole. The pole caused numerous power lines to fall across the highway, causing a grass fire on the interstate.
I'll guarantee you anything. That CD had something with a steel guitar on it. Mm. You know it's true.
Well, the driver was possibly injured but declined medical care.
That's fantastic. Sort of an accident is created by Rube Goldberg. Here we go. Many emails about Bust Magazine. Mm-hmm. Bust can be found at New Seasons. That right there tells you what you need to know.
No, I'm not nervous.
It's not like it's, you know, Butt Slave Digest.
But, you know, there are those ones that I'm dressed a little more scantily clad than the other ones.
See, I haven't seen those. You haven't shown those to me. I feel like we haven't bonded.
There's a reason for that.
Now, I'm not trying to be cruel.
No, I didn't. I just that one, you know, with like the black and the ruffles. That's just a little less than I usually.
Is that where she was telling you to stick it out further?
Yeah.
That's a fine photo. I don't believe that's a revealing photo at all.
You know me. I never really.
You don't show your décolletage.
It's true.
It's but you don't even in that one, do you?
Well, it's lower. It's like
you can't see anything though.
I know, but.
You have a weird, and by weird, I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just saying, you have this bizarre, perverse inversion when it comes to your idea of what revealing is. I mean, I don't know if you've taken a good long look at some of the women who work at CBS, but you really, I mean, you might as well be coming here wrapped in a shroud every day. I mean, I thought there was some rule that when you got a job here, they gave you huge jack boots that went all up to your thighs and then like a pair of hot pants. And then like that's your sales outfit.
Oh, like Condoleezza Rice style?
Go sell an annual. That's and when, you know, it's like clothes that are made out of melted licorice. So let's see. What else do we have here? Someone legally similar to but distinct from Chris says, I get to deliver it all the time. The mag's tagline is, wait for it. Women with something to get off their chest. Wah, wah. But it is a so-called feminist... Let's see, what is it? Bust Magazine is a more or less hip feminist magazine. Slater Kinney and Amy Sedaris have been on the cover. Amy Sedaris is the one that I've got. That's sitting on her coffee table at home. Because she's the Strangers of Candy chick, right?
Yeah.
She's David Sedaris' sister.
They profile, quote, women of strength. So there you go, women of strength, Sarah. That's
cool.
That's what it's all about. Is she David Sedaris' sister?
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Okay. Hey, does Patrick photograph you? Or is it just Joni?
No, it's just Joni.
Oh, okay. He's not talking about working with you. He's talking about working with Joni. Patrick says, I'm with the Patrick who filmed Bigger Than Jesus and Horns Across the Hawthorn and many other things. I'm with Sarah. I know what it's like with Joni. She's always like, stick that out more. Give me a pouty look. Hell, I'm just behind the camera. I can't figure out what good my posing is doing. I just do what I'm told. Okay, there. Thank you. Rick, hey, idiot, there's a clock on your phone, Gene. Okay, there's no need to call names. Your puny earth clocks are not like the clocks we use here at CBS Radio, when those clocks are actually here and functional. We have, literally, our clocks...
They have to be down to the second.
Our clocks are synchronized to a satellite, I believe, that rotates somewhere, because we have to do a thing.
Sputnik.
Let's see, this is, Brad. Brad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I think Sarah almost sounded a little disappointed that it was just the foot shot. So, if you want, I can get those other shots from Joni and send them down to Norm Zeta for Perfect 10 magazine.
Yeah, I'll let you get right on that.
Brad.
Yeah. Right. No, you're not Eastern kind of European, but they might go for it.
Is that where they get their women? Do they import their women in crates?
Yeah, kind of. I think they come in parts and then they put them together here.
The only... I've only ever seen that one girl. Who was that chick you brought into the studio that one time, long time ago from Perfect 10?
Did I do that? I don't remember.
Were a committed married man.
It was only on a radio station broadcast to dozens of people everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. It was you and Dennis and that girl.
I think it was Michelle, yes.
Yeah. And then she was... And then she was somewhere else. Didn't she come up to Stars or something where there was some... We did something?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. This conversation's turned awkward.
See you tonight, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Tonight.
All right. There you go. That's good. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
A truck full of stolen donuts? Better believe Tri-City police were on that in a hurry. Moments after the theft of the Vieira's Bakery van was reported early in Kennewick, police issued an all-points bulletin.
Oh, God.
A Benton County Sheriff's deputy quickly spotted the truck. A chase ensued with speeds reaching up to 35 miles an hour. Richland police got to stop and arrest the driver, Stephen Swoboda, who's 19. Still intact was the entire load of glazed sugar and cream donuts, as well as apple fritters and bear claws. In 24 years of law enforcement, I've never had a call like this, said Richland Police Captain Randy Barnes. To steal a bakery truck? How clever is that? It kind of sticks out, after all, a donut truck. The truck was taken while the delivery driver, Gilberto Gonzalez, left the engine running during a stop at the break place Concorto.
Here's the very best part about this. Now, you know, I'm from the Tri-Cities. From Kennewick. So you know that this is going to be on the front page of the Tri-City Herald. This is going to be huge news. God, let me just tell you this. The last time, God, where was I? I was somewhere. I was at a movie or something, and there was like a friend of a friend he works at the Tri-City Herald. And I mean, Kennewick is a town of like 14 people even now. And he was... we were at some movie or whatever, and the guy was there, and he's the film critic for the Kennewick newspaper, and he was going on and on, and he kept referring to himself as a journalist. He kept prefacing all of his statements with that. And I'm like, well, where do you run it? I write the movie column in the Kennewick Picayune, you know, whatever. And every time he would, I swear to God, in the course of like 5 minutes, he prefaced about four or five different sentences with, well, yeah, as a journalist. And then he would sort of like cock his head and look at me, you know, and he had like a jacket with elbow patches on it. So that tells you what you need to know about that.
Meanwhile, a 19-year-old Tigard fellow faces a suspension and more than $1,000 in fines for allegedly driving his motorcycle 129 miles an hour on Highway 26 near Seaside. Curtis Rands was pulled over after being clocked at more than twice the posted limit. When Rands was arrested, he told the trooper he was just trying to find his wallet that he thought was somewhere between Portland and Seaside. He was arrested for reckless driving, taken to Clatsop County Jail. And, the new law took effect, by the way, January 1st, making stiffer penalties for drivers caught at 100 miles an hour or faster. The conviction carries a mandatory 30 to 90-day suspension and a $1,103 fine.
All right. We should break here. Coming up here in just a moment, Nanette Sosa, who is in Jerusalem today. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondents Ed McCarthy, Gary Baumgarten. We also have Dennis Pitzenbarger stepping in from the Portland Tribune. It's the worst song you've ever heard. And later on, our Snakes on an MFN Plane announcement. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Think about it.
Thanks.
It's like having a role on Star Trek. You could milk that for money for the rest of your life.
The deaf-mute teenagers haven't found. The deaf-mute teenagers haven't found. The group lost in the Oregon woods. 19 of them. They're not from Oregon, though. They're from the Youth Leadership Camp that's part of the National Association of the Deaf and Mute, headquartered in Maryland.
Okay. I'll go ahead and read this anyway. This is from Catherine. She says, Rick, if a deaf kid is lost in the woods, does anyone hear him? Hello. It's 503-733-2970.
For shame.
It's, five, it's not me. I'm just, baby, I'm just a vessel. I'm just passing these things along. Don't shoot the messenger. That's like blaming Chris because he delivers that magazine with the big boob on the front. It's 503-733-2970. One of these conversations always happen when Nanette Sosa is on hold. Nanette Sosa is she doesn't pretend to be a journalist. She actually is a real journalist. Ladies and gentlemen, where is my sound? Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Haifa, Israel, Nanette Sosa, CNN radio correspondent. Nanette, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm alive.
Yeah, see, and this is Rick Emerson delivers. We don't just make empty, hollow promises here. You ask for the Bee Gees. You ask for the Bee Gees. I give you the Bee Gees.
So. That's what I propose, staying alive.
Well, you made the request, and so we aim to please, because I know amenities are probably short over there, so you are probably, they are probably in short supply, so we wanted to help.
It could be my last one.
What's that?
Oh, it could have been my last one. Oh,
see, you're allowed to make such observations, I can't. I have to leave all the gallows humor to you. I have to be the relentlessly upbeat and optimistic one during these phone calls. So yesterday when we were talking to you, you were in a place both literally and figuratively where, I mean, you were seeing rockets in the air, you were seeing rockets come down, you were talking about how they were hitting 3 and 5 and 8 seconds, away from you, and I know it's nighttime there for you now, so is that still, has there been any cessation or ramping down of the hostilities? What's the situation now?
No, they're launching them yet again tonight. This time over into Beirut, so the noise is a little bit less. But yeah, they're still bombing away, and that's about it. Israel is just blowing them away. It's just, I think, you know what? I did a tally here. I did a score. I was standing at the window, but let me look at the score here. Israeli military and some civilians dead, 98. Lebanese, 781. Wounded, Israel for 700, and Lebanese at more than 3,000.
And I see that George W. Bush is taking the bull by the horns the way that only he can. He's doing something authoritative and definitive. He is really he's exercising his power as only he can. He's going to clear some shrubbery on a ranch, and he's going to ask the United Nations to pass a resolution asking people for peace.
Oh, and you know what I found out here? You don't bring up the United Nations here.
Oh,
they're like, no. They said, what is somebody in Fiji going to tell me about taking care of people in Israel?
Well, I mean,
that was what someone told me.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they're all anti-UN here.
Yeah, I mean, the United Nations kind of remind me of the union that we used to have at my old radio station, where they would just sort of take, they would take like 8% of your paycheck and give you bupkis in return for that.
Not everyone.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Tim.
When you work in housekeeping, it's different.
So Bush is going to be asking for 2 UN resolutions. He's asking for one calling for a cessation of hostilities, and the second one, and this is the part that intrigues me, he's asking the UN to pass a resolution calling for a ceasefire, establishing an international peacekeeping force. Now, here's my question. Because I am an ugly American, and I don't really know a whole lot about a whole lot, Do we / other nations, I mean, to what extent have we already had forces there just sort of on an ongoing basis? And if we have not, does this mean that we're now going to be establishing like a 15th place where we're just going to have people for time immemorial?
You know, it's just always been a conflict here. And I think in 2000 is when that ended with the international peacekeepers hanging around that border. And that expired in 2000. It was so bad that today I think one of the proposals was to bring back the agreement that was drafted in 1949. And I mentioned this to person out in Haifa, and they said 49, that's before Hezbollah. So does that mean that they'll be able to exist? I mean, what's this UN, and what is it that exactly that they're talking about, and where is it that they're taking us?
Right.
We just need protection. Just, you know, just dismantle Hezbollah. Tell them, you know, to, I don't know where they go, but they don't want them there.
It seems like having a UN resolution or establishing a peacekeeping force, that's right up there with when they appoint a, quote, blue ribbon commission or panel to investigate something, which sort of means that they have no idea what they're going to do, but they want a way to kill 5 years, you know, while they sort of brainstorm another idea.
You know, exactly. And it's just, and you want to think, you know, are they lollygagging? Is it going to be about the money and stuff? I just heard a little explosion go off, so I'm looking in, out the window here. Okay, well, anyway, it's just another bomb from Israel over to Lebanon. Anyway, with regard to Bush, that with the decision, that was not a bomb, that was the window. The that decision is just going to be at a moot point. Right now, they're not even agreeing on any resolution. I just saw that the U.S. is at odds with two other countries and even getting anything past, you know, past the U.N. It's going to be the United States, Britain, and Europe are now all on disagreement, and the Lebanese have a seven-point plan, and nobody really agrees with that seven-point plan. How long it's going to take or how many bodies... the thing is that the people are hurting.
This seems very much to me like a bunch of people in a burning building standing around trying to argue over what size bucket they want to use.
It's about that. That's good. That's really good.
You can feel free to use that. You can pass that along as an Annette Sosa original. You don't have to give me any credit. Yeah.
I like that.
All right.
That's sad.
People
suffer.
I know that you are there, you know, covering things from the perspective of inside Israel and what's happening there. But I mean, just you mentioned something earlier. It seems like just from a political vantage point, especially, you know, we're coming up on the fall pretty quickly, and then 08 after that. It seems like a really bad time, just appearance wise, for George Bush to be sitting there and sipping a mint julep in Crawford, don't you think?
Well, isn't he a lame duck president at the moment?
Yeah, but I mean...
He really doesn't have that many more decisions to make.
I suppose. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Republicans are just at the point where they figure that the less, you know, he's out in public with everybody else, that the less damage he can do. Maybe standing next to that guy no longer makes you look good.
Actually, by Israel fighting this war and by the U.S. staying out of it, it's a cheap ticket for the United States in general, because it's Israel fighting terrorism. We already have the issue still going on in Iraq with our own soldiers. So this war that Israel's fighting is like a free ticket for the U.S.
So,
you know, there could be a little bit of that mental delay for the president. In my opinion, not as a journalist. I'm not reporting what I'm seeing off the wires.
That's, you know... That's okay. One of our long-standing tradition on the Rick Emerson Show is to try to beat all that objectivity right out of you. Just get you to let that go. We've managed to do it with most of the other correspondents. So, all right. Well,
you never asked Special Ed about Special Ed.
We did, and he did a flawless danger. And here's it, talking about a free ticket. So Ed McCarthy, after you tipped us off to this, Nanette Sosa, Ed McCarthy came on from Atlanta, and he not only I didn't even ask him about the being called Special Ed. I simply called him that, and he responded to it, which was genius. And then he did a great Rodney Dangerfield, and as a bonus, he did a flawless Ed Sullivan, which was so good as to be unnerving.
It's good. It's good, isn't it?
It really is. All right. Well, stay safe, and I'm sure we will be talking to you very soon in that. So just kind of keep your head down and your chin up, as they say, and we will talk to you very soon.
Entonces, muy bien, señor Emerson. Hasta el próximo, ¿que no? I don't know Hebrew. I only know Spanish. I try.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Nanette. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Nanette Sosa, ladies and gentlemen, in Israel. There you go. All right. How bizarre that she has to interrupt herself occasionally to look at the window and see if there are bombs exploding. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to mention this. Here's a thing about Sarah that's weirded me out today. And I think it has to do, it has something to do with your hair color, I think. There's this photograph of you on my webpage, I think. It's like one of the cat, because there aren't a lot of updated photographs. All of the photographs of us, they're all from like 5 years ago. I was thinking about this the other day. We got to get some new staff photos taken. We're going to talk to our man, Jason Crump. I think he's going to do some of those.
I can't believe we're still here after that long period.
Well, I mean, I never bothered, because it's like, what's the bun? Let's get new staff photos taken. And then wham, that's when the axe comes down. That's like when they, you will notice that I never actively went out of my way to get business cards for any of us. I actually waited for them to come to us. Mm-hmm. That was a sort of test. Because I knew that if I asked them for business cards, that's exactly when they would come in and say, there's been a few changes, and we're just going to be, we're going to be streamlining. And so I waited for them to ask us about business cards. Same thing with staff photographs. But if you go to rickemerson.com, under the photo section for staff, except for listener events, and there's some of those from, like, Horns Across the Hawthorne, whatnot. All the
gun show?
I mean, the Riley Gun Fest, which is like...
That was a one-of-a-kind event.
That literally is like, that's like 5-6 years ago.
That was back in the days when people really didn't care what we were doing.
And a thing that you could never, ever, ever do now.
No.
Since if we're just going to get off track here, for those of you who may not remember this, even though you're just like a recent listener, you just started listening in the last couple of years, when we were on KOTK in 2000, it was in August of 2001, and I'll never forget that because I'm sure of that because it was after I'd come back from the first unpleasantness, but before 9/11, which means, and I came back on August 13th. That was my first day back. So it's amazing, actually, to think that that all came together within like a week of me coming back from having been off the air. Mm-hmm. So In 2001, I was unemployed. I was off the air from January all the way through the end of July. And then I came back to the Portland airwaves on August 13th, which was a Monday. And I do believe it was about 10 days later we did this station event. And it sounds absurd. I mean, it was only 5 years ago, but it sounds retarded. You talk about it now. It's like one of those things you'd read about in that Jim Ladd book where we did this event where it was Tim Riley, Kim Morgan, who was our movie reviewer at the time, Clyde Lewis, Matt Peterson, and five strippers in bikinis, all of them firing high-powered handguns and rifles on the air at some, where were you, like some gravel pit somewhere?
Some gravel pit in the cool,
in the middle of nowhere. Because Tim revealed on the air that he'd never fired a gun. And I'm like, well, that's fun. Let's go shoot some guns on the air with strippers. Management, no problem. General manager, signed right off. Human resources, business department, legal, all of them didn't even bat an eye. Here you go. Here are the keys. Take the KWJJ van. This is nobody had any issues with that at all. This is what in no conceivable universe would that ever be possible now. I mean, I can't.
And that was back during the days when I would say yes to anything. First, I was asked to be on the show, and I hope it's not like the network show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give it a try and see how well this works.
Which was terrible. Yeah. What was my point here?
Is it the old picture when I had my hair orange?
So there's this picture of you wearing that I Kissed Justin shirt. And it's on my website.
The one that the girl stole and made the fake MySpace profile
yes.
with.
I'm just saying, you look a lot like that Sarah today, and I think it's the hair color. I think your hair, because your hair is sort of dark in that photo. It's a lot more pronounced. So your hair today, I think this new color, because it's kind of weirding me out. Like, I look over and I'm like, it's a photograph. But it's because your hair looks very similar. And also there's a photograph on that page of you with, like, I think it's that zip-up thing you're wearing now and a blue shirt, and you're kind of got your hands on your hips and you sort of turned profile.
That was when I dyed my hair orange.
You look a lot like that photograph today, too. So it's kind of weird. I'm having, like, a whole time-space relationship sort of thing. Scotty, what? Listeners want to know when I started here? Well, how long have they been... forgotten? It's March. March 13th. We're always starting on 13th. So you go, March 13th is when we started here.
We've almost made it 5 months, not...
don't say that out loud. I think they've forgotten we're here, which is the only reason this show continues to air. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'm sure wondering how Joe Lieberman is doing today.
More than anything.
Well, his campaign is crying foul. In a statement, the campaign says it has been the target of a coordinated attack on its website and email capabilities. Lieberman spokesman Scott Overland said they've been incapacitated for the better part of 24 hours.
I'll say.
I soul search every day on Iraq.
And I'm sorry. That's...
There was an actual orchestrated effort to disrupt our website and in turn our email. So we have been unable to communicate with our supporters via our email. They haven't been able to get any information from our website.
Wait, does everybody associated with the Lieberman campaign come from a second-rate Neil Simon play? I haven't been able to...
Everyone's rushing to the Joe Lieberman website.
Exactly. What do you suppose is contained in the body of a Joe Lieberman email? What would he put? Yes, I'm still here. Please. Hello? Is anybody getting this? Hello? Just respond back. Type anything. I can't imagine what updates they would possibly be giving out. Here's what we need. We're going to talk to somebody about Joe Lieberman later, simply because I mean, let's be honest. That campaign's going to burn out. We're never going to hear from that guy again. So we got to get all this news while we can.
He'll campaign as an independent.
Yeah. Him and Pat Buchanan.
I like Pat Buchanan. I'd vote for Pat Buchanan.
I would vote for Pat Buchanan in a heartbeat, actually.
You know where he stands.
No, I mean, that's... Pat Buchanan... Pat, what are you going to do? I'm going to build a wall around America, and then everyone will be interned in a camp. And you're just like, well...
He never flip-flops on an issue. You know
what I'm saying? No, man, that guy... That guy has an ironclad belief system that never changes, right. Never alters, and sways with no political winds.
Right. Like, I never agree with him, but I vote for him anyway.
If there was some sort of Buchanan, McCain ticket or something, man, I'd vote for that in a heartbeat. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Baumgartner about this later on, because what I really want to know is whether he's using the phrase Jomentum at all. Because the last time Lieberman ran, we latched right onto that Jomentum thing, and I tried to buy merchandise and swag that said Jomentum, and then it was all gone, because I think everybody had the same idea I had, which is that this is genius, and we've got to buy it while there's still something left. So we're going to talk to Baumgartner about that later.
So on this day of his big campaign, Joe Lieberman said he should have clarified his stance on the war in Iraq.
I soul search every day on Iraq, and I think maybe what I didn't do clearly enough is to convey that to the voters.
He's a dynamo, folks. All right.
Meanwhile, because everyone's asking, Danny Bonaducci is weighing in on the Mel Gibson thing. The now clean cut Bonaducci, who spent a month in rehab last year, says his own battle with the bottle ended when he realized that drinking was consuming his life.
Drinking kind of consumed all my free time.
Dennis Pitsenbarger, ladies and gentlemen.
Huh. Drinking kind of consumed all my free time, and that's what I did. And it's one thing to be an entertainer who is, known to go out and have too many drinks. It's another thing to just be a stay-at-home drunk. It just wasn't interesting anymore.
Okay, well, from now on, we're just going to identify all of these as coming from Dennis Pitsenbarger. We're not going to bother to correct anybody who
it's
thinks
that. It's good that Dennis isn't going to be a stay-at-home drunk anymore.
Dennis should have been drinking more. Oh, I'm sorry. Mel Gibson should have been drinking more when he was pulled over.
My problem is not that Mel was drunk. My problem is that Mel wasn't nearly drunk enough. Mel blew a .12, which about 10 years ago was considered sober. You know, if you're going to start at a .12, I could still do open-heart surgery on somebody.
Boy, that's just freaky. That's unnerving. Wow. And anybody watch his reality show, the Breaking Bonaducci show?
I did
show?
Last year. That was a really addictive show.
It's pretty intense. I'm not a big fan of reality television, but we've talked about this before, that I used to work with somebody, and she now works in Portland, who was his co-host when he was on The Loop in Chicago. Is he still on the air? Does he have a radio program?
I believe he does in L.A., yeah.
He's on a KLSX, is he?
No, he's on one of the other ones.
All right. He's one of those guys, though, that just drifting. Whatever happened to Cato Kalin? Remember how Cato Kalin had a show on KLSX for a while? That's the station in Los Angeles where they carried Howard. Now they carry, and they have Likas, and the Corolla show, I think, comes out of there. As of today, anyway. But KLSX is, they're big fans of stunt, jocking. You know, they'll hire somebody just for a spike in the ratings. Right. And I know that they hired Cato Kalin. At one point, and he was doing mornings or middays or something. And that's just one of those guys that you just, you're sort of aware that he's out there somewhere, but you wonder what he's doing. Cato Kalin is one of those guys that 10 years passes, and you suddenly see him somewhere, and you wonder what he's been doing since the last time you saw him, which is like 1998 in this case.
Meanwhile, the Jewish prosecutor who filed DUI charges against Mel Gibson has been taking up the case. Ralph Shapiro, the deputy head of the Malibu District Attorney's Office, was replaced by Gina Sandriano last week. Meanwhile, this is part of our Youth in Crisis.
We don't really have any music. Do we have Youth in Crisis music?
I don't know.
I think that's whatever the... what was that MySpace? Didn't we have some, like a MySpace bed we were using? It was like a storm. No, the storm, but like a weather sounder.
Maybe.
It was like a dun, 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 dun. It was some scary 50s music.
Well, whatever.
Just mentally insert that here.
Well, teens who listen to music with degrading sexual lyrics have sex sooner than teens who don't.
Ah, that's what I'm talking about right there.
That was a good spot for it, too. The research, which will be published today in the August issue of Bust. I mean, the pediatrics, the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics is the first study to examine the relationship between what teens hear through the headphones and what they do in their bedrooms. The study's lead author, psychologist Stephen Matriano with RAND in Pittsburgh, says additional factors like parental permissiveness were accounted for.
Okay, well, this is, is that this sounder here?
Yeah, no. Number five.
You might expect that teens who have more permissive parents are both more likely to listen to music with sexual content and more likely to have sex at an earlier age. We account for that fact in our analysis, and we've confidently ruled out the most immediately obvious alternative explanations.
I don't have any idea what that soundbite means.
No.
All of this means is
not
that,
that they matter.
No, it just, look, it means that slutty people have slutty kids. That's all that, I mean, you know that's true. Quick walk through the food court at any mall, quick ride on the TriMet. That, you know, those guys out there that drive the TriMet buses, they're always, Mike who drives TriMet, he knows that. You see those women on there all the time. Dad is probably nowhere to be found, but slutty girls have slutty girls of their own. That's just the way that it works. Yeah, the slutty apple fud, it doesn't even leave the tree. It doesn't leave home. It just lives there forever and ever. Continuing to raise one slutty, you know what it is? They're like slutty nesting dolls. Just in the same house, generation after generation, giving it up for the pizza boy. So that's totally what that is.
Those apples keep falling into the pie.
It's exactly. It's not like smoking makes you a slut either. But I mean, it's just one of those. It's just sitting around and listening to to that doesn't necessarily make you that way. But there are certain behaviors I think that come along with having a mom who's gone every night between like 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. because she's on a pole somewhere. Do you have where's the article? Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
The best part about this is there was this study, which is so clearly wrong. Teenage fans of crude music.
What would that entail?
Crude music. What year is this? Racy lyrics. Have sex sooner. No doubt in the back of a jalopy. Anyway, so they go on to say that there's good reason to believe that music may have an important influence on adolescent sexual behavior. These degrading songs are not the love songs of yesteryear. The authors noted, these types of portrayals objectify and degrade women in ways that are obvious, but they do the same to men by depicting them as sex-driven studs. That's fantastic. sex-driven studs, whose individual desires are subsumed to their gender role. The study mentioned the boy band 98 Degrees. Let's see who else. Blah, 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 blah. Natasha Ramsey, a 17-year-old from New Brunswick, New Jersey, said she and other teens sometimes listen to sexually explicit songs because they like the beat. And then listen to Natasha Ramsey. She says, quote, sometimes I don't realize that the person is talking about having sex or raping a girl. End quote. This is like that claim the other day that there was some video game where you got points for being a gang raper. Even so, she says, the message is being beaten into my head. Now, listen to this. A study published today in the Journal of Pediatrics says teens who listen to this music with sexually degrading lyrics have sex earlier than teens who don't. The following are lyrics from every song on Billboard magazine's current top 10 list.
Let's hear them.
These are lyrics now from, this is not a joke. The following are lyrics from every song on the Billboard magazine current top 10 list. Anybody know what's on the top 10? Sarah, you're the closest thing we have to an emissary to the youth culture.
I have no idea.
Could you name a single song?
Well, I know that you like that Fergie song.
I do, and it's embarrassing. It's a man.
How about that Christina Aguilera song?
How do you know that that's on the top 10?
Because I watch VH1 Countdown on Sunday mornings.
How do I know that Fergie song is on the top 10? That's the embarrassing. That Fergie song was on Entourage on Sunday, which I take that as a little bit of vindication. Because Sarah sort of laughed that I was into that song, but Entourage has a fantastic...
I haven't heard, I'm not laughing.
I'm just saying, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing I'd be into. But Entourage has a fantastic soundtrack. I'm surprised they don't sell the soundtrack to that show, actually, I'd buy that. But on Sunday, there was this episode where they were in a strip club and that song was playing.
How about The Fray? I think someone's being paid to play their song.
Man, The Fray. That's like if Death Cab for Cutie is just too aggressive for you. You know, they're just too out there. Okay, number one. Promiscuous Girl by, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's Nelly Furtado.
By Nelly Furtado. Okay, I will say that that's a little more blatant than the songs were in my day. Promiscuous Girl. That's fantastic. The lyrics are, Promiscuous Girl, You're Teasing Me. Is Nelly Furtado a man?
No, it's a woman. You know her.
You're thinking of Nelly. It's hot in here when he's dancing in the fire.
why is Nelly the gay? Why is she talking about another girl? What's going on here?
Oh, I think it's a duet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With another girl? Is
no,
she also
it's
the gay?
Not with another girl.
Okay. Promiscuous girl, you're teasing me. You know what I want, and I got what you need. Let's see. Number two is that.
Oh, is that Rihanna on there?
You're really dating your Fleetwood Mac.
The kids
love the Fleetwood Mac.
No, there's a new girl singer who has a song about how the girls cheat too or something.
No, I heard
that the other day. It was actually pretty.
I think I've heard of her. Number two is that crazy song by Gnarls Barkley. Which here's the great thing about that song is that I never heard it until like a day and a half ago. It sounds a lot like Gorillaz. If you know that group, they did that.
I know who the Gorillaz.
Well, who knows? We're all apparently drifting further
That's
and
true.
Further from. It's a collaboration between like CeeLo and that guy DJ Danger Mouse who did the Grey album. Blah blah blah. It's kind of cool actually. It's sort of like a weird trip hop kind of a thing. It's very cool. I heard the single and then I sampled the album on the iTunes.
The Dixie Chicks.
No. These are not albums. These are top 10 pop songs.
Oh, okay.
Do people even say pop songs anymore? How old all be?
I think they still say that in Britain, but not here.
Number three, Me and You by, that's huge. You by, I don't even know who did that song. Who sang Me and You and a Dog Named Boo?
Lobo, who also sang.
Isn't Lobo a comic book superhero? Me and You. Can I just tell you this?
They're probably playing that next door.
This is exactly the kind of freewheeling banter, by the way, that makes this show such a hit among men 18 to 34.
It does.
Do you ever have this happen in your head where, and I don't think the new generation will have this, the new generation's version of this is those little 30-second samples you hear on iTunes or whatever. My generation, though, and even probably Sarah, we all grew up watching ads for record compilations on television. You know, rocking down the block, 30 hits by the original artist. Crank it up and do a thing. Bachman, Turner Overdrive.
Harry Williams has one on from the 70s.
Man.
When he was sitting in the sunshine with his friends.
I will sit and watch those infomercials all night. Those 30-minute long infomercials where it's like Has Been One and then like Peaches from Peaches and Herb, and it's a whole lot of
Herman from Herman's Hermits.
Peter Noon.
Yes.
Man, I know a woman who's like 70 who is the biggest Peter Noon. She, I swear to God, is vice president of the Peter Noon fan club for the state of wherever the hell does she live, like Montana or someplace.
He's like a walking violet for Botox.
Oh man, he looks like he's been carved out of a walnut. It's just like the bad skin. And just, you know what's really sad is when, I've talked about medical hair restoration in this program. What's sad
that
is when,
is sad.
What?
No, that's a good thing.
Zing. I'm saying when it's like he doesn't want to spring for that. He just wants to get the bad thing like stapled. He wants to get the Gilby Clark where they just boom, staple it to the top of your head. That's no good.
No, William Shatner's
Hair World. Was his forehead further back
Peter
when he was
Noon.
Younger?
Yeah, you know what I meant to bring in today, but I didn't. I'll bring it in tomorrow. I actually have it. I
don't even know what he would look like.
I have a Gilby Clark CD. I have a solo CD that he put out a few years ago. It's every single member of Guns N' Roses, except for Axl himself, has put out a solo CD at one point. / Steven Adler, Duff McKagan, Izzy Stradlin, Gilby Clark.
Delana's doing a song with Gilby Clark this week.
You know what? Here's the thing. As much as we knock that guy for being a dork and a second stringer, which he is, he's actually a pretty great songwriter and a pretty great singer. It's sort of like a Black Crowes, Rolling Stones kind of a thing. I meant to bring in, he has a CD called Pawn Shop Guitars that I bought years ago when it first came out, where it's actually really good, but man, he looks so much younger there. You look at the photograph then and you look at now, and I don't know what Gilby Clark has been doing, which is, that's a good question in and of itself, because Guns N' Roses haven't existed. It's just Axl and a bunch of freaks in the studio with him now. So Gilby Clark hasn't even been a member of Guns N' Roses for like a decade. So I don't know what he's been doing.
How do we get here?
Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. Well, let's take a break from these shenanigans to talk to Gary Baumgarten. Joining us now from...
Oh,
is that
I thought
who
he
wasn't
until 1:30.
No, that's 1:30 is no one.
I thought I'd...
And then at 2 is Ed McCarthy.
We should do a station ID.
Hello, you're listening to AM 970 at KCMD AM Portland, Oregon. New York City. Yeah. I love New York City. 1 p.m. Oh, yeah. New York City. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, Gary?
I am excellent. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You just missed Sarah looking at the CNN prep sheet to make sure that this was the right time and then throwing it away in disgust, like hurling down the paper.
No, I really thought, I'm sorry, I thought I booked you at 1:30. I was a little confused.
No, no hurling on the air. Go to the ladies' room.
Because I think Dennis is going to be in at 1:30 because he's got a thing that's early, and then we're going to have McCarthy at 2. Gary Baumgarten, how is life in the city that never sleeps, my friend?
You know, it's hot again today. It's like 90 degrees and humid, and I don't know. It's supposed to be, you know, it's like 10 degrees cooler than it was when we were talking about the heat, but it just kind of hit me today a little bit.
Let me just tell you that they finally, after being in the studio for 5 months, they finally got the air conditioning turned on in our studio. Just now, today is the first day we have had air conditioning in this room.
Here's the other question. Did they get the air conditioning turned on the buses yet?
I don't know, because I try to avoid taking the bus, because the people on there frightened me.
When we were talking about the heat, the fact that they had buses with no air conditioning.
I don't think it's all the buses. I think it's some of the buses. I think probably in my neighborhood, the buses aren't air conditioned. So I think it probably depends on where you're picking up the bus in Portland. That would be my guess. I don't really know. I don't know the answer.
Investigative report. Let's go out there and ride the buses and find out.
Yeah, let's spend hours and hours talking about it every day. And let's try to get it sponsored as well. Here's the thing that has been gripping over the last few days is Joe Lieberman.
Yes.
And so Joe Lieberman, who is sort of a low-grade obsession with us, only because it seems like, you know what Joe Lieberman is? Joe Lieberman is like the small, stumpy, not terribly gifted child who wants to be a baseball star. And, like, no one wants to be the person to step up and say, you're not any good. You're never going to win. And then they try to find some honorary trophy in the basement for something else that they sort of take to the shop and have altered to give to him as, like, a prize to convince him that he's really a good baseball player when in reality he's not. That's Joe Lieberman.
Well, actually, he's a three-term U.S. senator. He was a candidate for vice president on the Democratic ticket.
By that rationale, Walter Mondale is a power broker, sir. And I think we all know that's not true.
I mean, I don't think he was in political trouble until this year when MoveOut.org and company decided to let Ned Lamont, his opponent, and got out a big anti-war vote, which is what's going on today in the primary, and he may get bumped out of the running, probably will be today, because the polls indicated that he is trailing Lamont.
I think the thing about Lieberman is this. I think it's not to diminish his stature as senator, but I believe the thing about Lieberman is that he has sort of risen to what authors would call his level of incompetence. He has risen to his ceiling. He has plateaued. And everyone sort of seems to be aware of that but him. And so he's like, he's like a not terribly bright child just walking into a door over and over again, unclear on how to open it.
Well, that's an interesting observation, really, because actually I don't think anybody viewed him in that manner it seems to me that this is a one-issue-oriented race, and it has to do with his support of the war in Iraq.
Well, and that he is, to use the dreaded term that the GOP unveiled, he is a bit of a flip-flopper, it seems like, in that regard.
How did he flip-flop?
Well, because he was very staunchly pro-war initially, and it seems like he's sort of trying to back away from that now.
I think he's in trouble because of the 20-plus Democratic senators who voted to support the war. He's been the most vocal to continue in his support. And what they're trying to do is paint him as being aligned with President Bush. And that's not true. He's not aligned with the president. He's voted against the president probably, I think, the last I saw, about 90% or so of the time. So he is not a Bush Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. He just supports the war effort, and he continues to in a vocal manner. And what's important about this and why we're talking about it, I think, is because the Democrats are watching this because they're worried about the other 20 senators who voted, including Hillary Rodham Clinton, who voted for the war. And, how does that bode for her? And I don't think she's in trouble on her reelection bid, but it might impact her attempts to become president of the United States.
Someone who will not be named from the AM 970 news desk is speculating that you are, in fact, a Connecticut resident and have a vested interest in Joe Lieberman.
I live in New Jersey.
Let me ask you this. Is it true, because I seem to have uncorked some pro-Lieberman rage on your
I'm just trying to be an observer of the situation and fairly depict what's going on. I mean, I don't take sides on this issue.
I'll take sides.
I don't care whether you get elected or not.
Let me ask you this. Is Joe Lieberman still using the phrase Joe-mentum in any way or form?
I never heard that.
You never heard of it? He had... Dude, let me tell you about this. Here's why we love Joe Lieberman. Because Joe Lieberman, I don't know, this is... So what year is this? This is 2006. So it would have been in aught. He was using... he had t-shirts and posters and placards and whatever, and they said, like, feel the Joe-mentum. And they...
It wasn't a very well-run campaign.
No. And then I tried to buy some of that stuff online. It was like Joe-mentum.com or literally something like that. And then... Like, it was gone. It was all sold out. And I've looked on eBay. I have lamented for all my days since then that I failed to buy a Joe-mentum t-shirt.
And you know what? Here's the point of all that. It seemed to play well outside of his district. Not so much in his district, right?
No, it's true.
So, you know, what good is that?
So, there you go. Well.
He's going to lose probably. And the question is, if he loses, will he then, live up to his threat or promise that he will run as an independent in the general election? And if that happens, does that mean that the Republican in Connecticut, which is decidedly a blue state, will sneak through? That's really what's going to be very interesting to watch.
Hold on a second. Is this Scotty? Should I be taking whoever this is? This is okay. So Gary, hang on. Don't go anywhere. We've got Brandon weighing in this. Brandon, hello. Brandon said he wanted to address the Lieberman conversation, but it's probably...
He wanted to take me on, and he didn't stay on the line. Can you believe that?
Somebody, you're feisty today.
I am, really.
Did somebody spike your cornflakes or something this morning? Oh. You got a little seething power going on there.
No, I take a few liberties on your show that I don't elsewhere.
No, it's fine. You have carte blanche, sir.
Thank you.
Right now, we've been talking to Nanette Sosa recently. She's over in Israel.
Yeah.
And it hasn't taken that long with her, but you know, it's like every time, like Bob Costantini is this way. He comes on and he has this whole veneer of journalistic objectivity and professionalism and decorum and tact and standards. And it usually takes a good 5, 6, 8 weeks to beat that out of somebody when they come on the show.
Oh my God! You're saying that I lack journalism and journalistic integrity?
No, but that's a plus.
Isn't that what he just said?
But it's a plus.
You were my best friend. Now look what you just did. You just dissed me on the air.
Are you going to give me the Lieberman kiss of death? Now you're dead to me. All right.
Yes, I'm going to tell you that Joe Lieberman supports you.
All right. Oh, wait, hold on. This is Brandon. Brandon is, hello, Brandon?
Hi, guys.
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to address, Gary, I wanted to address your statement that this really is...
Wait, did you just call one of us Jerry?
Gary.
No, Gary.
Gary, okay, all right.
I got a cell phone, and it's really...
Okay, what's your address here?
It's not a one-issue campaign. The war is obviously a huge issue because it's impacting every area, but the sort of theft and liberal dissatisfaction with Lieberman has gone back to since before... Since Clinton was
this is a mistake.
When he was, you know, head of the moral scolds there on the floor of the Senate. And going all the way through now when he says that rape victims should feel fine about going from one hospital to another to try to find emergency contraception. So, to say that it's
somebody's listening to the wrong station.
Campaign.
Down the dial.
No, it's not topical radio, but I'm just saying it's not just a one-issue campaign.
So if it weren't for this issue, Brandon, if it weren't for this issue, he still would be in trouble? If it weren't for the Iraq War, you think he'd still be in trouble over all these little minutia things that you're talking about?
I think that it's all compiled into one. Yeah, the war certainly should be one of the foremost things on people's minds. But to say that it's all this big war only issue, you know, constructed by MoveOn.org is really
back
just
in time
echoing Republican talking points.
No, it's true. All right, boy.
Let's
boy
not do that again.
We're really losing that cell phone though, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry about
that. Okay. Thank you, sir. And okay.
Still losing the cell phone, huh?
Yes, no, it's terrible. No, it was damned. Okay, that's the last time I do that. That was ill-advised.
That was fun, though.
It seemed so exciting there for a moment, and then quickly it degenerated.
No,
all right.
Anytime I'm on, you can do that. That's fine with me.
No, it's not your fault, Gary. You're not to blame. all right, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day in the New York City, and we will talk to you soon. Keep an eye out for Joe-mentum. It is sweeping.
If I see one of those T-shirts, it's yours.
I'm telling you, man, those things are worth their weight in gold.
Especially if he loses.
Yes, what are the odds of that? All right.
Look what happens when an artist dies. All of a sudden, his work that he couldn't sell on the street corner in Times Square is worth thousands of dollars. You know?
You should remind Lieberman of that. Just let him know that he has a vested interest in losing, because then I can sell Joe-mentum swag, you know,
there
for like triple its value. He owes it to me.
I'll tell him that when he gives his concession speech tonight.
Thank you. Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. CNN radio correspondent from New York City.
And the segment appropriately comes to a close.
All right. Are we breaking? Hello. How late are we?
25 minutes.
We should have just rolled it.
You have too many live reads. We can't do it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Right. Yeah, cha-ching. Let's go.
Bada bing. All right. Back after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Queen. Don't go anywhere.